entrepreneurs are told to like follow the money or like follow the green. Figure out what you're good at. Like, what are you a little bit better at than like the average person? Hone in on what that is and then figure out what your passion is, like what actually like makes you tick. And you take those two things and you build something around that, you'll be good forever.
Yeah, kid, welcome back to another episode of the Handsome Home Buyer Podcast. My name is Charles, aka the Handsome Home Buyer, formerly Captain Permit, but we still love him. 516-513-8838. And obviously, this podcast and every other is sponsored by the man, the myth, the workaholic legend, Sal Rizzolo. We know him, we love him. If you don't know him, you should know him. He is the connoisseur of all things mortgages on Long Island, especially now the 203K loan. All right, you ready to rock?
Let's get back. Did you say Captain Purple?
Captain Permit.
Oh. I needed to figure it out.
I had a smoothie this morning, right? And I'm really sensitive to like sugar. So I had a smoothie because I basically ran out of food. So I'm like, all right, let's like cocktail this up. And that shit hits me like speed, bro. Like I have ADHD to the max. Like I was diagnosed, I'm 44. I was diagnosed probably when I was like 9. Which is kind of like, I guess, back before everybody had ADHD.
Right.
So I have ADHD, which is, it's not just ADD, it's hyperactive. So like, I'm very sensitive to sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you give me chocolate and you could literally watch me speed up as I'm eating it.
Yes, it's nice. You eat a little sugar before a podcast, rock and roll.
Boom. But now as I get older, right, and I watch all these like longevity YouTubes. So you're not old enough that you're 37.
Yeah.
At 38, shit starts to break. Not you, because you're in good shape. And I feel like you underwent like some crazy, did you undergo like a crazy transformation and get-
No,
like,
I mean, I've always just been like a skinny bastard, but I've never been to the gym before in my entire life.
You're in super sick shape now, bro.
But this just started to happen from OG. Like a friend like recommended, obviously they're right around the corner from me.
Yeah.
And I started to go, and I like, again, I had nothing to compare it to. And I was like, holy shit, this getting in shape shit is serious.
I mean, you jumped in the ring with Tyson right out the gate.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I think immediately, like, I like started to like, so for me, like I said, I'm like extreme. I've always been like a real skinny dude and I could never put on weight. And now burning like friggin' 1200 calories every morning.
Though.
So like it's hard. Like, and I don't like to eat like that. Like, I'm not like the guy that like make mad steaks and eggs and chicken. It's tough for me to like.
You don't love food?
I love food, but like, I don't want to overeat. Like, I don't want to go home and eat like an 8-egg omelet. Like, you know what I mean? It's just.
See, I wish I had. I mean, I'm lucky. I got a decently fast metabolism. But to be able to just eat meat and be good and have that kind of metabolism,
honestly,
you're lucky.
Since I've started going to the gym, I've been trying to gain weight. And like, I went to the gym at like 140, and then like within 6 months, I was like 160. I was doing my protein shakes. I was doing my thing. And now I'm still doing it. And I just keep staying there, and I'm just like right there. I see myself getting stronger.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like without like some sort of like a huge overload of protein, like I'm like where I'm at, you know what I mean?
OG has completely changed my life in so many different ways. I love that place. I love those guys. You know what the biggest thing for me is, interestingly, I maybe like a month ago I realized it, the way I breathe. So when did you start working out? A couple years ago?
About a year and a half ago.
Okay. Before that, did you ever like, you were swimming or whatever, you try to take like a really deep breath, but at some point it feels restricted. Like you can't expand your lung capacity anymore. You know what I'm talking about?
Not really, but I understand what you're
like,
saying.
Like, no, that's just you, bro. This is you.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Now I can breathe in a way that I've never breathed before. Like, I have this expansive lung capacity from, I guess, all the just torturous shit that they put us through in that place that I've never had in my entire life.
Yeah, honestly, I've never done, like, I've never ran on a treadmill before. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just never did it, like, anything super athletic before this. Like, I've always just been, like, a skinny dude, like, but not really in shape. And that place completely transformed, like, my state. Like, honestly, it changed my whole life. I couldn't agree with you anymore. Like, my trajectory of every single day, like, I'm being there at 5 o'clock in the morning. Evan, the way he talks, like, I feel like he's talking directly to me.
Yeah.
And he's, like, he really been, like, a huge, like, inspiration to me. Like, yeah, I mean, he's a really, that like, it just like turned me into overdrive 100%. Like, I've already, like, I'm at full tilt, full throttle all the time, and that place made it double for sure.
So I want to get into that and a bunch of stuff that you're doing, and I'm gonna have you intro yourself in a minute. But I have to say that for me, You're the most fashionable guy that's ever been on the podcast, bro. Really? I like it. It all works. Even, and I don't even know if you meant to do this, but just like, even the way the hat sits on your head and it's got a little bit of slump going. I was like, bro, like this guy is perfectly put together.
I'm in like.
Are you bald work, like me?
Yeah.
By choice or by your follically challenged like me?
I was like in high school. I started going bald.
But you got a good head. You're lucky. You got a good head. And the beard.
Shit, man. I'm coming back here every week.
Right? Like I need this kind of like, I'm the ultimate hype man.
Yeah, I love it.
So give everybody a quick kind of like 30 seconds of who you are and what you do. And you, bro, you do, we've never really met. Like I've seen you in the gym. I give you the nod. I love your energy. I see what you do online. I'm like, I got to talk to this guy. I got to get to know this guy.
Yeah, I love
the vibe is good. But I feel like you're doing everything. Like literally everything. Like you're like building freaking hot rods, running block parties, coming out with like hair care products, have a barber shop, clothing. Like it's fucking all over the place.
You know, this to me, the secret behind it is that like, I'm so overly passionate about what I'm doing that like, it's also like my hobby. It's all like, I have so much drive and energy to do it. Like I'm not working ever. Do you know what I mean? So it's just like, soon as like I go to sleep to it. And so I have this thing, like, I'm like, there's two sides to me completely.
Just two?
Only two.
I kind of feel like I have this vision in my mind before you jump into it of you like, the camera pans, the music's playing. It's like a little bit like rock. You're painting a fender of like a 1955 like rat rod. And you like some, calls you to Matt, yo. You get up, you walk across. There's like scientists concocting your latest hair gel. You check in, you walk through into the barbershop, doors open, like through a freaking burlesque show. And then some dude's getting tattooed and then you're just snipping some dude's hair. Like it's just...
Well, all that stuff to me is under one umbrella. Like, what I was going to say is that, like, the two sides is, like, and I say this a lot, but I do family and business. Like, literally, like, if you ask me to go to, like, Six Flags, like, I'm not going. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm very cut dry. And, like, my family is my number one. Like, you know what I mean? But soon as, like, I switch that gear, I'm full throttle all the time. And like I said, it's completely passion driven. You know what I mean? So... it really, I don't feel like overload. I mean, sometimes I got a lot on my plate, but
like, I feel like I'm a kind of person. I feel like you're probably the same way that you only feel comfortable in that scenario. Mm-hmm, 100%. Otherwise you're like, I'm not doing enough.
It's the second I stop.
So what are you doing?
So you want to break it down?
Yeah. Give it to me.
I mean, in a nutshell, you know, I'm a dad of three little girls and I'm married.
Wow.
Yeah, three girls under five.
You got three?
I got twins that are three.
And all girls?
All girls.
And what, did you try for the boy at one point?
No, actually I did in vitro and we had, like it wasn't working for a while and we had like 11 eggs and we got them genetically tested.
Okay.
And every single one of them was a girl.
You're just a girl maker.
That's it.
That is what it is.
So yeah, I got three girls. I got twins that are three and I have my oldest, who is five. And... yeah, so I have my e-commerce brand that is like a men's grooming company / lifestyle brand, which is the Holy Black.
Got it.
Then I have the Holy Black Barbershop. And then I have the Order of the Holy Black, which is a fraternal order. It's pretty much like a modern day version of a Knights of Columbus that I'm running.
Oh, cool.
That's something that nobody really knows. It's kind of like, it's about to surface, but it's something that's been worked on for over the past like 6 years. And now it's all starting to come to a head.
Is that like... What's the focus on that? Is that island-wide, statewide, countrywide, worldwide? Or is it like hyper-local Lindenhurst? What is it?
So right now we have our mother chapter, which is hyper-local. It's in Lindenhurst. My warehouse now is the clubhouse, but in about a week or so, we're signing a lease to an actual clubhouse. Everybody started paying dues and we're getting to a space where everybody have access to and stuff like that.
Nice.
We also have a chapter in the PNW, Albany, Texas, and Ohio, but they're very small, like maybe one, two, or four people in each one of those chapters.
You started this. It's your baby.
Me and my brother. So all of this, I should preface this, but all of this is partnered with my brother. Me and my brothers are partners in the Holy Black, the barbershop, and the order.
I always wanted a brother. Yeah. How old is he?
He is 44.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
So how does all of this come together? Is your brother doing something? He's your older brother. He's your hero. You guys get together and just... scale it, or was this something that you were doing? Does it start at the barbershop? Like,
yeah,
where does the story begin?
So pretty much my brother is like a creative genius, has no business sense whatsoever, but is probably the most creative. He thinks in a way that I've never, and not because he's my brother, he is really just a special, the way he thinks is special. So since we're little kids, he's been building and making weird things in like mom's basement. And I'm always the business guy. And I've always been like, you know, you could sell these. And he's like making like movie props and like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle canisters, like all sorts of weird shit. And what happened was we had our grandfather on my father's side, who was a barber, who passed away. And we inherited all his old barber antiques. And one thing in particular is called Scholten's Old Spice from the 30s. And it was like the best fragrance ever. Me and him used to like savor it. Like we'd like take like one drop and we'd wear it when we go out to like weddings and stuff when we were younger. And my brother tried to start like recreating it. And he started ordering fragrances and started making aftershave. And
oh, because it was discontinued?
Yeah, you couldn't get it. Like there's new Old Spice, but it's not the same. The Scholten's from the 30s is like the best shit ever. Do you curse on this podcast?
Yes.
Okay, cool. He tried for a while, and then he finally like nailed it. It was like the best stuff ever.
He literally...
Yeah, it was perfect. Then we started wearing it, and then like he started giving it to family for like Christmas, and then started giving it to our friends, and then he made like an Etsy store, and then he started getting into like wet shaving, which is like traditional shaving with a straight razor and a brush, and...
The badger hair.
Yeah.
I got the badger.
Yeah, dude, I got you. I'm with you. He started to do like he started to get really busy, and he came to me and he was like, "Yo, this is too much."
He's just selling products.
Yeah, so he had Etsy store, and he was making shaving soap, but he was doing fragrances like everybody always did, like standard like sandalwoods and like stuff. And he started coming out with really like different fragrances and really cool packaging and like hand cut labels. He would take like labels and he would stain them with coffee and like make like everything that we do has got like a 1800s aesthetic or like vintage. So like he's just got a real good eye. He's a real, like, I mean, he's creative. He's on another level of creativity.
The shop is crazy looking. Like
the barbershop?
It's awesome looking. How old was he at this time?
When he started the business?
Yeah.
Like when he started making products?
Yeah.
So that was like 2010. So like from 2010 to 2013, it was like a hobby pretty much.
And was he a barber or no?
No.
Not a barber.
Neither one of us are barbers.
Oh, so neither one of you guys can
cut hair.
Can cut a stitch of hair.
Not even a little bit.
Got it. Not want me to cut hair. All right.
And honestly, like we grew up with
which is great.
A bunch of family members that were barbers on our father's side, and my mother's a Cosmo. So like we've been in that industry forever, but we had no interest in cutting hair. And honestly, the whole thing kind of just naturally came. It was just another project that he did. Like, you know what I mean? Like making the aftershave was like one of the thousand things he did. And at the same time while he was doing this, he read that book. You ever read 4-Hour Work Week?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Years ago.
He was reading that book while he was doing this.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't know, I could do this. Like, you know what I mean? And like he started an Etsy store and like
I just need a couple $2 VAs from like some other country. Exactly. They can run this whole shit.
You know, and like we followed a lot of things from that book. We kind of like came off track and came back. But yeah, so at like 2015, I used to own music studios, and he came to me and he was like, dude, he's like, this is too much. Like, he was really like doing, and like, he was like, it's supposed to be a hobby. He was working on like Cablevision too. Like, it was like a side thing he was doing in my mom's basement. And he was like, it's just too much, dude. Like, he's like, I can't handle it. He's getting these emails. He's like, he's just not built for it. He's like, he don't want to scale. And I'm like, dude, we could fuck, you know what I mean? So that's when like, I moved him into one of my music studios, like a 10x10 room. And like my music studio like was very self-sufficient. I didn't do, I just did monthlies. I didn't do hourlies and stuff. So like I had my renters, they came in. I pretty much took a warehouse, divided it up, put people in there to rent, and then collected rent. One room paid for pretty much the rent, the rest was profit. So it was like really good. The only employee I had was a cleaning.
How did you get into that? Do you still have that or that's
gone? No, I sold all of them. I had a couple of them though at a point. I've had a lot of small businesses. Like my whole life, that's just what I've always done. They actually asked me coming in here with my first business. Like, wow. Like I went back to like making flyers in my mom's basement. But long story short, fast forward to music studio. I used to have a DJ company as well. And I used to keep all my equipment in a music studio. And I started like jamming with a band. And then like I started hanging. Like it was before we had like, you know, apartment stuff. We were young. So like a music studio is like a spot we'd go, we could smoke a joint, listen to music, play on a turn. Like it was like a clubhouse, you know what I'm saying? That was my first clubhouse. Now like I've been building clubhouses ever since, but, and it was just a good biz. I was there and then I became friendly with the owner And he was moving out of state, and I was like, let me buy this from you. And I bought it, and then I filled it up, and then I filled up another one, and then third, I ended up having four of them. It's a great bit. I like, if I wasn't doing this, I'd probably still have them, but I was.
Is it a good business?
It is a good business. I mean, it's pretty much the same business as a barbershop. Like you have a piece of property, and you divide it up into sections, and then everybody pays rent, and then like I used to have a warehouse cost me like $1,500 a month, and I'd build out this sick music studios, and one room I'd get $1,500 a month for, and then I'd make 10 rooms in one warehouse. Like, it was crushing.
The businessman in me just needs to know a little bit more about that.
I can get it. I can go deep with you on that. You want to start one? Let's go. I'll start tomorrow.
So you get a warehouse. Mm-hmm. What's like the build out associated with doing it? Like, is it a ton of tech in these places?
It's empty warehouse.
Empty warehouse.
I put up walls. And like HVAC is a little bit of an issue, but I have creative ways of doing it.
Okay.
We had like air conditioners that all end up, and I put vents in the ceiling.
HVAC so that like the noise doesn't impact the sound quality?
No, just like heating and cooling all these rooms individually.
Okay.
But like I figured out a way to do it really seamlessly. And
okay. I got that covered. We build shit.
Yeah.
And all right. What else?
So like my first music studio was just insulated walls, but then like I started becoming more high end where I would build rooms within rooms so they're actually soundproof and stuff like that.
Okay.
And there's a huge need for musicians. Like, you know, everybody starts out in like their garage or their mom's house or like that, but eventually you need space, and like old band members chip in, and like it's especially on Long Island. And like I was on off Edison Avenue right here in West Babylon.
Yeah.
And there's the whole wine dance side, which is all like hip hop guys that okay. the small studio space. And then like Lindenhurst and Babylon, which had a lot of like local band guys. And like they would have like two bands would share one room and something like that. And it was just I'm a big advocate of having businesses that don't require employees. But barbershop, believe it or not, and I've had a lot of businesses, is the first business I've had with employees. And I did it purposely because if you could set something up, and like there's no such thing as like, I don't believe
this. Sounds like self-storage for music, and I'm loving this.
Yeah,
it like, is. And when you incorporate, when you look at the numbers and you incorporate it as a real estate play and you buy the property, and then they all work together, to me, it's like self-storage is one of the hottest asset classes out right now. So wait, I got a couple questions. So they rent it out by the month, by the hour?
So I did monthlies, and I did that purposely because—
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, because doing hourlies, and first of all, they destroy your place because it's not their place. Secondly, because you need somebody staffing them, letting them in, letting them out.
Exactly.
Equipment. For me, like I found guys, I locked them in and then they were there, they paid their—
Yeah, you set the code up, you put cameras in and everything.
Yeah, wow. Pretty much just an empty room. It's crazy.
Do you know—
So like the way the Holy Black scales, I put him in a 10 by 10 room.
Okay.
And when I rented that room, I put him in another empty room I had in it. And then I got to the point my warehouse was full with music studios. And so I got another warehouse and I built half of it for the Holy Black. I put up the office and a lab, and then I rented out the rest of it.
Like a lab where he's concocting shit?
Yeah. And then I built the rest of it into music studios, and then that paid the rent on the building. So we had free space because we were a small business with no like startup funds and nothing like that, and then
what I had a great time.
Yeah, it's great. I love
that. Must have been a great freaking time.
Honestly, like I am all about like the journey.
Yeah,
like for me, like I,
of course,
I know that like this is what I do. It's what I love. So like I'm not worried about the end goal. I'm just having so much fun doing it. Like, you know what I mean, it's the best part.
So. How do you, just out of curiosity, like how do you balance all that with three kids?
Family work balance, I think, is probably the biggest challenge of being as busy as I am, but because I have all my priorities in check, like I just know, like my kids and my wife is like my entire world. So I make sure I make it a point that like I always have quality family time. I have 2 days a week that I don't see my family. Tuesdays and Thursdays, I wake up 5 in the morning, I go to sleep at midnight, nobody sees me, and I'm just full tilt all day long.
Okay.
Then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I go home early and I spend time. I check out. Like as soon as I go home, I check out. You can't text me. You can't nothing. Like I just completely check out and I'm full blown girl dad time. And then Saturdays and Sundays also, I am 100% family. Like it's all I do. So like I have those hours set and then I just stick to them. You know what I mean?
No, it's smart.
And like you have to, because if you go week by week, you end up getting caught up in ruts. And then all of a sudden you haven't spent any time home. And like, I value that way too much to not have it. You have to be organized. I'm sure you know, like without some sort of organization in your infrastructure, like you'll just be a shit show.
No, I'm not amazing at it. I'm getting better at it, but it's...
feel like. And if you are, you never get anything done because you're too anal retentive that you focus on the details. So like you have to be like an even mix. Like I'm not the most organized person, but I know what my priorities are and I know what my values are and I stick to like certain things, but like I'm all over the place, you know, but I have to be. I got pulled in a million directions.
It's probably the way you're built also.
Yeah. Like you said before, the second I sit still for a second,
I need chaos. I'm like, yeah, need chaos.
I was outside for 5 minutes. I was there, and I'm like, I'm here. Like, you want to come in? Otherwise, I'm going to start working. You know? Like, just how
like, I am. Oh, yeah, it's Thursday. Boom. Yeah. It's one of those days.
Yeah, I'm all night tonight.
So keep, because I want to keep hearing the story. So,
yeah, so I could keep continuing. Why did you where I left off before we?
We'll talk about we'll talk about launching our music studio empire after the podcast. Yeah, but so you're doing that, and then what happened? Like, what is the Holy Black doing? Where does the barbershop come into play?
Yeah,
like,
so I joined forces with my brother and moved him into a room. We continued to grow. As we grow, I would get bigger music studios, and then at some point, I rented the office and the lab, and that rent paid for the music, for the warehouse next door. And now we had our own space and our own.
Got it.
We like, I don't know if you've ever seen my warehouse, but I built out like this. It's pretty much like our clubhouse. And like, it's hard to justify why we have this huge space. We have e-commerce because me and my brother could work off our phones from a small office anywhere. But we do it for media and we do it for, it's, we call it our flex space. We use it for so many different things. And like your perspective of what I do is exactly what you we're going want. For.
Okay.
You know what I mean, it's funny, people think that all we're doing is like working on hot rods and skateboarding and like, you know, like, do you guys even work? And I'm like, you know, it's all we show. You know what I mean? Most of the time we're just stuck behind a computer, you know? But we do to create that lifestyle and that brand. We have the space to do that. And believe me, we utilize the hell out of it. And we've just been, so like, we used to do like tattoo conventions to get the brand out there. And one day I met this barber and he was like, you guys need to get into like the hair industry, you know, like we were making shaving stuff and like, okay, just like super niche, like shaving products. Like we started doing really well in that niche, but like we hit like a ceiling where we're like, how much more can we grow in this little niche? And then we got introduced to like the hair industry, which is, you know, you start going to hair shows with, you know, vendor boots are like 30 grandy, like big, big stuff. And you start seeing the big dogs and you're like, oh man, there's plenty of room to grow, you know? And that's when we started getting the pomade and stuff like that. And what happened as soon as we started making pomade, I started doing all the sales to all the barbershops around the country, started meeting them. I used to do this road trip where me and my videographer used to get an RV and we drive to all these barbershops around the country. And like, it was my way of like, I'm like a, like boots on the ground, shake hand type of person, you know what I mean? And building relationships.
So this is how you built the whole thing. You got in a van and literally drove from place to place.
I'm the most gorilla person you've
ever met. Slinging pomade.
Yeah. And honestly, so I have this theory that like when you build, like if you build, what happens is people want to start startups, right? And they get like an investor and then they pour money into ads and they build things up really fast. But if you do things like guerrilla style, where like boots on the ground, it takes a lot longer.
Yeah.
When you build a really solid foundation like that, like you can't not get knocked over. But when you build really fast, you have this really like weak foundation. Like, you know, so you can grow really fast, but you can get knocked over real easy. You know what I mean? So like I said about earlier about the like end result is not even on my radar. Like where I end up is where I end up, and I'm sure I'll be good. I feel successful now because I'm happy with what I'm doing, where I'm at, and who I'm with. Like, you know what I mean? And not with even making a ton of money. It's just the like, I'm fulfilled. I got my family and I got my business. I love what I'm doing every single day. So like, I'm good already. Like, you know what I mean?
That's
so
amazing.
I'm not even worried about what's next, you know?
Bro, you've won.
That's how
like
I feel.
You won the game. Like, that's like, it. At 37, and it probably happened earlier, you won the game.
Yeah, you know, just within the past like 5 years, I've really dialed in. Like, I have like this crazy level of gratitude. Like, I'm like, I'm always been focused my whole life on just like happy. It's so basic, but it's just happiness is my goal. Like, and if you could learn how to get there, and it's pretty easy if you understand it. You know what I mean? Like it's you get rid of a couple things. Like, I think a lot of people are just worried about the wrong things. You know what I mean?
Everybody's worried about the dumbest shit that doesn't matter.
Truth. It's the truth. And if you get rid of all of it, it's not really that hard. You know what I mean? It's, you have to just enjoy what you're doing, who you're with and where you're at all times.
And like, let's put, listen, there's people that are going through tough shit, so not to discredit 100%. That. But like, let's put it in perspective. We're living in 2023 yeah. on Long Island in one of the, like the one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest country, in one of the wealthiest townships. There's opportunity. There's the internet. I mean, you can make one video and change your freaking life. It's just, it is a glorious time to be alive.
Yeah. And as long as you're willing to friggin' put your head down and get after it, you could do it. Anybody could do it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't come with any, like I said, the Holy Black, like, we literally started with like $1,000. Like, you know what I mean? And we've just been grinding along. You know what I mean? We started, my parents were on welfare growing up. Like, you know what I mean? Just been like a hustle. And like, if you could figure, like, that's why they asked me a question when I first came in, like, what's the best advice? And like, kind of caught me off guard. I was trying to think. I'm like, wow, I got a lot of advice along the way. But what I said was to follow your skill. You know, a lot of people, entrepreneurs are told to like follow the money or like follow the green. But like, if you follow, like, figure out what you're good at. Like, what are you a little bit better at than like the average person? Like, what were you born with that's just a little bit better than like most of the people you know, right? Hone in on what that is and then figure out what your passion is, like what actually like makes you tick. And you take those two things and you build something around that, you'll be good forever. You know what I mean? But the thing is, so I have this saying is like the biggest misconception is that like the average man doesn't calculate his quality of life into his annual salary, because like, people go after these professions because they make a lot of money. Like, I know so many friends that travel to the city every day and they're making, you know, $300,000, whatever it is, a year. And like, they think they're crushing it, but they hate their job. And they're like, there's a reason why people say, like, what do you do for a living? Because what you do for your work is what you do for life. Like, that's your life. You know what I mean? So, if you friggin' hate your job to come home and be able to buy a friggin' Mercedes, like, your life sucks. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really does. And, like, I think that's where the, like, people don't understand. Like, your quality of life of what you're doing every single day, that's the reward. That's the payout. Like, if you can enjoy what you're doing every day, like, you're successful. Not if you can make a bunch of money, but you hate your job, that's not successful. You know what I mean? I just don't think people understand that.
No, I mean, listen, that's, you put it perfectly. Thanks. That this, yeah, it just really makes sense.
It really makes sense to me. If, you know what I mean?
You're successful if you get up every single day and you're enjoying what you're doing.
100%.
And that could mean you're making freaking $20,000, or it could mean you're making $20 million or everything in between. You just should be happy. And listen, I got to tell you, I know a lot of miserable bastards out there. A lot.
Honestly, how often do you meet somebody that is genuinely
happy,
all the way happy,
and not much,
and their relationship are for the right reasons, and like they like content, and again, like it's not a luck thing, and it's not like how you array, it's a mindset. You know what I mean? And I think that mindset is obtainable, and people just don't understand. They just, priorities all fucked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. It's, and listen, and social media, for as great as it is, There's negative side to that. People get sucked into that and the images and all the bullshit that comes along with that. 100%, dude. Wow. I mean, what I probably think, and again, I don't know you, but I probably think you had kick-ass parents.
Yeah, I actually only had one parent. I had a kick-ass mom.
You had a kick-ass mom.
Yeah. Yeah,
because she is. I feel like that's the foundation for
yeah, most people. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. 100%.
You know, and to be as positive as you are and as happy as you are, I feel like.
You want to know something? My whole family's not like this.
No?
You know
what I mean? No. Oh, really?
No.
All right. Maybe you're the outlier. Honestly,
it's like, I preach this shit, and I don't preach it too often. Usually when I'm getting really ripped and I'm having conversations.
You are like the super positive guy in the family?
Yeah, totally. 100%.
Does everybody look at you like you're a little off? My family looks at me like I'm off.
Honestly, like, I'm preaching now because like, you got me going. But normally I don't preach too much about this, but this is all I think about. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because like, I think it could come off as like, oh yeah, man, your life is great type of thing. You know what I mean? But it's, like I said, I think it's just a perspective thing. And if you don't see from that perspective, I don't want to beat it into you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
was there like a moment or a chain of events or like something that went on that was like very just transitional for you in your life that made you think this way? Or you were just always like this?
I know that I've been thinking this way aggressively for like the past, like, I guess since like around since I've had kids, I had like 3 to 5 years, it's like takes up a majority of my, like, not that it takes my brain, but I constantly have this like overwhelming feeling of gratitude. And same thing, like you said, like I look at things as a whole, like you, like I think if you focus in, like I can tell you 100 things that are like I should really be worried about, you know what I mean? But I just I look at everything as a whole all the time and I'm like, I'm good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, this sucks. And like, you know what I mean? Like, I had some serious shit happen when I was 10 and again when I was 21. Like, I went through shit. Like, I haven't had this like great, you know what I mean? But as a whole, like, everything's cool. You know what I mean? We live in a, we don't live on the street. You know what I'm saying? I love what I'm doing. I love my wife. I like where I live. Like, you know what I mean? Like, good. But those are all conscious decisions, you know? And it was things that like I strived for and I worked really, really hard to get there, you know?
No, I just, I love the perspective because I deal with a lot of people that are just like super negative all the time. And I'm just like, bro, what the fuck do you have to be negative about? Yeah,
that's my biggest pet peeve. Negative people.
It sucks the life out of you, man. It literally sucks the life out of you.
I can't. I can't even listen to it. Yeah. I'm like the most drama-free person. Like, soon as you talk to me about something that I think is like irrelevant, which is a lot of things because I'm very like hyper-focused on like,
business and family.
Yes, exactly.
So business and family. And getting jacked.
Honestly, like that, you want to know what, this is completely offbeat, but you want to know what really made me go to the gym?
What?
I was at an Islander game and the guy in front of me had three girls and they were probably like 25 years old and they were gorgeous. And I looked at him and I was like, and every single dude that walked up and down the aisle.
You're like, shit, that's going to be me. I need to be able to throw it down.
At some point, I'm going to need to knock some motherfucker out. Like, you know what I'm saying? I got three freaking beautiful girls. I got a, you know, I have four women in my household and I'm holding it down. I might have to kill somebody. You know what I mean? And I'm ready to prepare to do that.
You have no allies. Do you at least have a dog? That's amazing.
Yeah, I got two dogs. I just got a new dog, Chew. She's a Rottweiler puppy. He's a fucking maniac.
It's a boy, though?
Yeah,
two boys. There you go. So they gave you something. Because otherwise, it's just all estrogen, no testosterone.
You know what's crazy? I wanted a boy my whole life. You know what I mean? I think it's just like a dad thing. Like, you want a son. You want to recreate yourself, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I so wanted a boy. Like, I was so bummed when I found out all my embryos I had were girls. But now that I have girls, like, I'm so obsessed with being a girl. Because, like, I'm like their superhero. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
awesome.
Like, I fucking love
now. Girls will love you forever. Girls will love you forever.
Girls, it's the best thing ever.
What? So, just to button up how the business gets to where it is today, like your brother's living out of a 10x10 in a music studio. You keep shuffling him around every time you rent his fucking.
Yeah, we did. We moved probably like 15 times.
You know, so by day and night, he's like concocting in the lab on the other side of the building, and then sleeping in the room. So, how does it? Like, when do you sell the studios? How does it become what it is? And how the hell do you go out and market and sell this shit, like, hand-to-hand combat style?
Honestly, like again, back to, like, really, really grassroots. Like, I have zero distribution. I have zero sales reps. I literally do all of it. And I'm in, like, barbershops in every single state and across the whole country. And every single one of them... I mean, like, I have like a technique on how I do sales on, and mostly, so Instagram was really monumental to us over the past like 5 years. Instagram's not what it used to be. But I, when we started, I had zero followers and I literally like, I built that whole business through Instagram.
It was that wizard video, man. That shit was tight.
I was AI like, stuff.
Damn, that was cool.
I have my videographer, Box Visuals. He's been with us since the beginning. Well, actually, his first video he did was for us. Like, he, like, when the first time he came to me, we filmed it with an iPhone. And, like, you know what I mean? And we've been growing side by side together. And the kid is a wizard. He's just a genius. He's like a savant. Like, he just, he has just vision. He's just a great asset to us. And we work so closely together. He, like, we are where we are because of him and vice versa. And it's been really fun to grow with him. But media, like, you know, media is king. And we've been doing this fun media stuff for like 10 years now. And it's just like, we've done everything. We've done vlogs. We've done, you know, YouTube. We did like educational stuff. We did AI stuff. We like, you know, and we just, and it's really just like, we love doing it. You know what I mean? Making content for us is so much fun.
How do you handle distribution?
For a product?
Yeah.
So we have like a back end to our website, like a wholesale portal. So pretty much I get wholesale accounts by creating relationships with barbershops via social media.
Okay.
And then
everything's social media driven at this point.
Yeah. So like about 70% of the traffic to our website is from Instagram.
Just from no paid shit, just organic stuff.
Yeah.
And wow. They try the product and they're like, this shit's dope.
Yeah. And I, then, like, I friggin', I like, again, I have like, this sales technique where I like, I introduce myself and I work my way into getting someone a care package, and I keep following through and following through until I get them as an account. And then like, then they just kind of go into the system and I just keep updating with them. But we did just recently take on a guy that does marketing for us. So we're starting to do a lot of paid ads and serving ads to different people and stuff like that. But everything was organic up until like a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And that's why we have, like, the marketing guy came on and he started looking at all of our analytics and like our conversion rates. And he's like, dude, I like, cause I said like most startups are just like poured gas on like an idea, but like all my people are like this real supporters. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're people that have been with us forever. And
no, like, you bootstrapped it, man. Yeah. Like $1,000 a dude in a van with like a camcorder driving across the country.
Yeah. But like now he's like, I could just pour gas. I just got to turn some dials. Like, because our biggest thing is exposure. Like, I'm getting the same exposure now with like 45,000 followers on Instagram than I was back when I had like 1,000 followers, because they just don't, you know what I mean? They're not, unless you pay for it, nobody's seeing it anymore.
Are you delving into like TikTok, YouTube, all that stuff?
Yeah. So we've been doing YouTube forever, not as consistent as we should. TikTok as well. TikTok really though, I'm just recycling stuff that I'm using. I'm making a conscious pivot recently to really start focusing on other platforms and utilizing them. I've noticed that, believe it or not, Facebook is making a huge comeback for us, because I think it used to be how Instagram was and everybody started spending all the ad dollars there.
Yeah.
And then what happened was people started to pull out of there, like the consumers started to pull out of there because it was so ad driven.
Yep.
Then so did the advertisers,
and now it's
going back to it.
Yep.
So, but yeah, it's always a, like, I'm constantly like probing and trying to see what's new and what's working. Like you said before, you just kind of throw enough shit at the wall and you're shooting and like, eventually you kill something. You're like, exactly. All right.
Just keep shooting, man. Just keep shooting.
Consistency is so important. Like, we did a vlog probably 8 years ago at this point. We did it for like a year straight. And we were starting to, but it took so much out of us. You know what I mean? It took up so much of our day. But if we would continued, like we would have been. So I think it's important to try to, like, you're not going to get results immediately out of anything. And you go to like mess around with TikTok and like, it didn't work. But like, really, you just got to keep going in all of them. But it takes a ton of time. And like, honestly, it's this whole time, it's me and my brother. We have no employee. I got a girl that does like shipping and makes soap and shit like that. But like, we have no employees, you know, except for the barbershop.
But I love it, man. Listen, I would run on all day. We've already been going like an hour and 15 minutes.
Really?
I would freaking run all day. But I really appreciate you coming. Thank you so much for all that.
Thanks for having me.
Love the fucking energy. How do people find you? How do they follow you? If you're lucky enough to have hair, you should go to the barbershop. It looks like a sick experience.
Even if you don't, you gotta come in for a hot towel shave. It'll change your life.
Done. How do they find you? How do they follow you on Instagram?
The Holy Black, at The Holy Black. You can find me at The Holy Black on Instagram. You can find the barbershop at The Holy Black Barbershop. And soon you can check out at The Holy Black Brotherhood. That'll be active very shortly.
If you have a house that smells like cat pee, dated from the 1960s, 6 inches of mold on the wall, human waste floating past the basement steps, I'm your guy. I want to buy it. 516-777-SOLD. That's a wrap.